Today, let's talk about Darren Acemoglu. Acemoglu has spent much of his career at MIT. He's one of the leading contemporary development economists, and more generally, he's brought the study of political economy back into economics. Acemoglu is considered someone who specializes in big-picture thinking, the broader historical sweep of economic development, and how it ties into property rights, incentives, and most of all, institutions. Acemoglu has also had a big impact on labor economics with numerous significant papers, but we're going to focus on his contributions to economic development. It's important to note that a lot of Acemoglu's work has been with Simon Johnson and James A. Robinson, both excellent economists who deserve a lot of recognition too. If there's a core theme in Acemoglu's work, it's that institutions matter, political economy matters, it matters how effective structures of governance are set up, that with good governance there will be economic growth and economic development, but with bad governance it will boil down to a zero or negative sum game and wealth will be destroyed instead of created. Acemoglu is the economist who today has done more than anyone else to drive home the relevance of these themes, and he does it by mixing history, empirical investigation, and economic reasoning. A key point for Acemoglu is the distinction between extractive and inclusive institutions. Think of extractive institutions as politics designed simply to take wealth from one group of people, very often the poor, and give it to another group of people, very often the politically connected. Slavery is an extreme form of an extractive institution, but you also could consider very high rates of taxation or mercantilist regulations and trade barriers designed to prop up, say, some businesses or corporations at the expense of the pocketbooks of regular consumers. In contrast, inclusive institutions take into account the interests of a large number of people, and their goal is to elevate the general standard of living in society, and they do that usually by producing wealth, by making sure that the rules of the game are fairly enforced, and perhaps sometimes supporting forms of redistribution, but redistribution rooted in some idea of the general welfare and a social safety net rather than just transferring resources to people who are politically the best connected. One of Acemoglu's best-known papers is called Reversal of Fortune, and it was written with Johnson and Robinson. It starts with the key point that the wealthy regions in the year 1500 are very often not so wealthy today. For instance, that might include the Mughals in India and the Aztecs and the Incas in the Americas. In 1500, the civilizations in, say, North America, New Zealand, and Australia were not so wealthy, but of course those are extremely wealthy areas today. So what happened? This paper argues that if a region was relatively empty in the year 1500, and thus probably relatively poor, that region was settled by the Europeans. It tended to have a predominance of European institutions, and it had the kind of European institutions which over time evolved into being more inclusive. Perhaps the early settlers of these regions did, say, kill or drive out a lot of the native inhabitants, but the notion that the native inhabitants were not so populous meant that you couldn't settle the region by enslaving all of them. You needed to set up some institutions to produce wealth. In contrast, the more populous regions usually were conquered, and then you had more forms of slavery, more forms of wealth extraction, and in general, institutions which were more geared toward ruling over people rather than producing wealth. So in the hypothesis of this paper, the great reversal of fortune, which starts around the year 1500, is really about economic institutions, and it's not about economic geography. Another very well-known paper by Acemoglu is about whether settler mortality mattered, and this is titled The Colonial Origins of Comparative Development. The key hypothesis here is that in regions where the mortality of colonial settlers was high, they didn't want to set up stakes and build a very productive economy. Rather, they wanted to come and grab things and put into place extractive institutions rather than inclusive institutions. Not everyone agrees with the data set behind this paper, but still it has been a highly influential and well-cited result. Acemoglu and Robinson have a very important and very successful book on development called Why Nations Fail: The Origins of Power, Prosperity, and Poverty. You can think of this book as a very large compendium of examples and analyses of the importance of this difference between extractive and inclusive institutions. Acemoglu's work is generally quite accessible, and there's a lot of it available on the web in easy-to-consume forms. For instance, he and Robinson have been writing a blog about their book called Why Nations Fail. You can also find them on Twitter under the handle @WhyNationsFail. Again, there's the book with Acemoglu and Robinson. You can put Acemoglu's name into scholar.google to get to his best-known papers. And also on Acemoglu's work and its general influence, see our earlier video by Alex, Geography and Development Institutions.